If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 13 tonight. Verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Tonight I want to point out the first part of verse 13, where Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." He says, "You are the salt of the earth." So the salt must be really important if he considers us to be the salt of the earth. If we look at salt has two parts to it. If we want to look at how it's made up, it's sodium chloride. If you separate each of those parts, they're very toxic, you know, but our body requires a certain amount of salt. You know that? And salt... from what I had studied a little bit, it's about 14,000 different uses. Can you imagine that? 14,000 different uses that we kind of use salt for. 28% of our body is salt in its weight. 28% of the weight of our body is salt. So, but there's a chemical reaction that bonds these two things together. And part of our body is water, and part of it's salt, but without either one of them, it takes both of them for our body to function properly. And so some of the stuff that I've went through over the last 6 months, I've realized that because I've had to decrease my salt intake. Well, when I decrease my salt intake, you know what it does? It dries me out. It really does. So it makes me dehydrated, so I have to drink more water. You know, so you have this teeter-totter, seesaw thing with your body going on all the time. But, you know, we are the salt of the earth. Now, I know that in biblical times, the salt was really important. It was a high commodity. And I mean, they traded it like gold and like coffee. I mean, it was a big deal to have salt, you know. And if you had a large amount of salt, you were considered wealthy because not everybody could afford to even buy it. And but there's parts of this. Why did Jesus say that we are the salt of the earth? Why are we the salt? Salt is the result of many. I'm all mixed up right now. Anyway, what I'm saying is if we are the salt of the earth, and there's 14,000 uses for the salt of the earth, then somehow, some way, God has thousands of uses for each and every one of us. Amen? Think about that. So if he can use you, and we have thousands of different ways, we have different personalities, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. We have different, we're made different. None of us are the same. And that's one way he can use you, because each personality he can use in a different way, right? So if the church is to be the salt of the earth, if you take the church away from this culture, it will die. The church is the salt, all right? And it has many uses. You know, there's a smelling salt. You ever had that? You ever smelt that? You know, somebody gets knocked out on the field and they break the smelling salts. I think sometimes the church needs to be that to this world. We need to wake up people. We need to be that smelling salt to people, because God desires us to be the salt. And here's the reason why. I'm trying to get to all this. Number one, salt is used for seasoning. Okay? Seasoning. Now, how can we be seasoning to this world? Okay, seasoning, we can make people better. That's what we got to be. We got to make people better. We don't want to argue with people. We want to anger people. We don't want to confuse people. We want to make people better. We want to make people happy. We want to make people understand who Jesus is and who is Jesus. Jesus is love, right? His word is the truth. That's what we want want people to understand. Amen?
Amen.
So think about yourself. Do you make people better around you? Are you making people better? Are you good seasoning? Is this church good seasoning? Are our churches good seasoning? Are we making people better? Are we getting involved in people's lives? Amen? That's something to look at, because if we're, we need to be making people better. You know, when we get in people's lives, we should be that example, right? That's what Christ was. He was a good example. And then he left and he said, I'm leaving you, I'm not here, but now he's referring to us as the salt of the earth. And he says, you need to be this. You need to be this. So number one is good seasoning. We need to be a good influence. We need to make people better. You know, when you put seasoning in food, it makes it better, right? So that's what we should do. We should be that. The church should be that in this world to make this world better. Amen? Number two is salt preserves. Salt is a preservative. When you put salt on ham, when you cure hams, it's salt-cured ham, it keeps the bacteria from growing. It's amazing, isn't it? It's an amazing thing. When you put salt, you can put salt on weeds, and it'll kill them. It will. But, the church should be a preservative to God's truth. We need to preserve the Scriptures. We need to preserve God's Word, because it is the truth, and we have to preserve that. The church has to stand its ground and preserve that, because in this world that we live in today, they want to manipulate the Scriptures. They want to make them obscured. They want to say that it means something different, and it's not true. And it is true. And we have to stand up and say, we're going to preserve the Scriptures. We're going to preserve the truth. That's what the church is here for. You know, God's truth should stand for something. This country we live in today, we have a moral dilemma in this country today. There's people that believe things that are not true to the Word. But they'll say that they're true to the Word, and God loves everybody. Well, God does love everybody. But there are things that are, the morality part of it has been altered, right? In this line, this fine line, is been stepped over. And the church, it's the church's position. It's the church's place to stand and say, we're going to preserve the Word, because the Word is the truth, and we have to stand up and say, this is the truth, not this. Amen?
Amen.
And you can listen to the news, you can listen to all, the Methodist Church is going through this big fight between that. I know you guys know what I'm talking about, and I'm not judging that situation. I'm just saying they go through this fight of this moral boundary that they're really fighting over, and many other churches have given in to that. But we have to stand and preserve, and we have to be a good seasoning to this world. As I said before, salt stops growth sometimes of bacteria. Listen to that. We live in a world full of bacteria, don't we? You know, water and salt are interactive. Our bodies, again, need water and they need salt. They need both of them. I think sometimes that this world needs both. It's an interaction between us and God. We have repentance, right? We repented of our sins, and then we gain forgiveness. We have this interaction between us and God. And if we're the salt of the earth, is what he says, we're here on this earth, and we interact with our heavenly Father in heaven, these two things go together, us and the Holy Spirit, to work together as the church. Without one, you can't have the other. Neither one of them will work without the other. on this earth. Well, God can. God can do all things. That's not what I mean there. But water and salt interact together. That's what makes things work properly. Number four, salt melts ice. You know that? You put salt on ice and it melts it. You know, when we throw salt on the cold hearts of this world, listen to me. The truth and love of Jesus will melt the coldest hearts. Listen to that. And that's what God has called us to do. He said, you are the salt of the earth. We have a mission. He's left us with things to do, and we have to go out into this world and be that salt. We have to be that salt. We have to be that preservative. We have to be that seasoning to this world. Because if the church is not doing it, the church is dying. Listen to me. The church is not doing what it's supposed to do if it's not doing that and being the salt of the earth as Jesus asked us to be. It's a wonderful thing to see a new Christian come to Christ, isn't it? Isn't it a wonderful thing to see that warming, that melting of the heart? You know, and we can be a big part of that. You know, we bring the truth to this world, but like I said, we have to stand and we have to preserve and we have to interact, and we have to stop the growth of the bacteria. Because that's what He wants us to do. You know, when you read right here, it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, that's what I'm saying. If the church loses its saltiness, is not willing to go out and do what Jesus has asked us to do, then it's not good for anything, it says. It's not good for anything. And I'm not speaking about this to beat you up or hurt your feelings. It's to encourage. It's to bring the truth to the church. And the church needs to hear this more and more and more and more today than ever before. I think too long we've stepped back and been complacent about a lot of things. And I know there's a lot of people, I know a lot of people in this church that do a lot of great things. I know that. And in many other churches, they get out and they witness and they talk to people. And I know that. I know that. Not every church is the same, but a church in whole. When I talk to different ones, a church in whole is struggling right now in this world. We're really struggling, especially here in the United States. We're losing ground here in the United States. And it's up to us to take that ground back. And we got to stand strong, and we got to continue to witness, and we got to continue to preach, and we got to continue to share the love of Christ with others. Salt can't be made salty again. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. How's your salt level today, tonight? How's your salt level tonight? I know mine's been reduced a little bit from time to time. I admit that. I'm guilty of that. I've not always been the saltiest person out there. But I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you tonight to look at this. Think about that. Look at yourself. You know where you are. You know where you are in your life. I know where I'm at. And I encourage myself all the time. I read this and I think, God, you know, I know. You know, and we can't do it all. We can't do everything all the time. And, you know, we got busy lives. And there's just times where, we, you know, you're mixed between family and friends and work and all this stuff. And we just get torn apart. And it seems like we think we don't have time. But when we're at work, we have time with our coworkers. When we're you know, at the gas station, we have time with the attendant or people around us or friends. We always have an opportunity. God puts those opportunities in each and every one of our lives. And I know I talk about that a lot, but He does. And we just have to be obedient to take those opportunities to talk to people and be that example and be good, you know, and to be a good seasoning around people. And there's a lot of things I could talk about tonight, but this little short devotion, this little short lesson tonight is really all God put on my heart. But I just wanted to share that with you. This is what He put on my heart for you, to talk to you tonight about.